Do you lead an organization, a business, company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com, S-I-M-A International, for inspired performance.
Join the team from SEMA International on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, here on 104.1 The Truth.
Welcome back to Circles of Change here on our show in anticipation of Veterans Day. Boy, I like that last commercial. We're kicking off a great one because, in fact, on the line is one of my colleagues, partners, and also broadcast partner for the radio show from SEMA International, Josh Miller. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hello, Zara. Good to be with you.
You bet. Excellent. And I think many of our folks know, if they listened last month, we had two of Mark's colleagues from SEMA International North Central join us. That was Mark Stevenson and Suze Grimes. Mm-hmm. And the unique possibility we've got to understand with Josh, after I give him an introduction, is he's one of the major engines of analytical know-how that backs up those of us that perhaps spend more time on the front line interacting with clients. So let me give a brief introduction for Dr. Josh Miller. He recently received his PhD, so congratulations. Congratulations again on that one, Josh.
Oh, thank you.
You bet. That's a journey that we all want to be enjoy as we go through it, but move forward from.
Right. Completed.
Exactly. Done. Josh is a senior SEMA consultant with SEMA International. He conducts the assessment for a variety of applications, including executive search, organizational development, and also individual career coaching. He's a trainer in many of the methodologies, and he conducts research and development in new applications of this capability. Josh functions as an internal consultant to his colleagues at SEMA International and their clients. In other words, he's one that backs up individuals such as me. And in this role, he has the privileges, as he writes, of studying the autobiographical narratives or stories of people who go through this unique process in order to identify their hidden motivational themes and then craft what we call the Motivated Abilities Pattern Report that explains these themes and helps us with implications regarding job fit. Well, Josh, I think the first thing we should always do, of course, is be completely transparent and share what our individual essence is. In the case of my map, which was done in 2002, that I'm easily characterized as a pioneer, someone who extracts potential, impacts change, and wants to prevail. So let our audience know from the frame of reference that you work first.
Sure. What I love to do is gather understanding, try to understand a person or place or history, and then express that understanding. And in the expressing of that, to make an impact that's mm-hmm. very important in people's lives. So one of my primary functions at SEMA International of walking with people in their life stories and helping them identify where the real patterns of giftedness are, and then explaining that, and then helping the person to shape a career change, some major decisions, make a good management decision, is really a good fit for me. So I have the privilege of being able to practice what I preach here at SEMA International and to really love what I do in terms of helping people understand their patterns of giftedness.
So if we went back and looked at some of the stories that you told to determine your own map, would it show thus some of that pattern of your having, you know, always wanted to be the inquisitive child?
Sure.
Not just get the library book, but really take it all apart, so to speak, intellectually?
Right, exactly. So in high school, I was on the debate team and did well with that, for example. And as a child, would read the stories of American heroes, a lot of the veterans, for example, that you're celebrating on your show, and then, you know, to write about those and enact those, and the whole PhD process is very good for me. I've also functioned as a teacher as well, which is a good place for gaining understanding and then expressing that, and of course the joy of interacting with students also. And in many various applications at SEMA International, I have that same privilege, you know, in terms of training, in terms of delivering workshops, and then on a regular basis with my colleagues like yourself, Suze and Mark, who you had, and Bill Hendricks as well, it's understanding the particular stories of their clients and then, you know, passing on that knowledge to my internal colleagues at SEMA International.
You know, I think many people, excuse me, when they get assessments done, Josh, they're very focused on, well, when can I get my report? Let me see the data. and what does then interpret, of course, what the data is all about. Mm-hmm. What I know of the power of this experience of going through this type of assessment, though, is actually the full process. So
exactly.
Why don't you take us back, you know, for the sake of our listeners who may not be familiar with this technique, and tell us what this really is all about, both the process and then ultimately the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. Well, it's true that initially sometimes when we introduce SEMA to our clients, they might be focused upon the outcome, but then they also may be a little concerned about some of the exercise that we have them do. Because it requires a bit of writing.
Mm-hmm.
And in this day and age, we don't often sit down and recollect ourselves and do writing. The form that we ask our clients to fill out requires about 4 to 6 hours of reflective thought and then writing. So initially there's some concern about that. Will I have the time? Can I do it? What I tell my clients is that it will be well worth the exercise. And oftentimes people say at the outset of writing that they won't enjoy it, but after it's done, they deeply did enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I found countless times, that when my clients begin to reflect, think about areas in their life, achievements that they've deeply enjoyed doing, believe they did well, that they're opening up these joyful memories from their past and beginning to reflect on those, and it's oftentimes a very, very positive exercise. So not just the outcome, not just the data or the map of the end point, but the process then becomes very, very important for our clients, and they take a lot of joy in it. And not only that, but there's various aspects of the process which they find kind of illuminating and rewarding.
I would also like to suggest that it isn't just, you know, writing, but let's go really back to step number one, and that is we ask the clients to come up with a list of 15 to 20 things that have happened in the course of the entire spectrum of their life that brought them joy. And then from the 15 to 20, then down select the 8 to 10 that they feel, you know, are, again, representative.
Right.
What I have found recently is that once people, they really wrestle with that, well, I don't have a list of 20 accomplishments. And you're saying, no, wait a minute. These aren't necessarily things that the rest of the world could even care about.
Mm-hmm.
But they were something that really brought you joy. A classic example, had a very senior executive who went back and told me the story of that giant oak tree in his backyard that as a child he dreamed of climbing to the top because he knew he could see around the world from there.
Mm-hmm.
And so invoke that kind of story. And then, of course, you know, 15 minutes later, tell me about some major merger and acquisition that he led. And, of course, that's the real gem of what then you as the biographer are going to mine, is what's the connection between climbing a tree in the backyard and leading a merger and acquisition?
That's right. That's right. And sometimes our clients you know, are living in the moment, doing wonderful things, accomplishing great work, but haven't taken the time to see where are those patterns, you know, the connection between climbing a great oak tree and leading a great merger. And what I've often found, too, with our clients is that they begin to see in that process you just described,
mm-hmm.
Of what are my achievements, what does bring me joy, and then of those various ones, what really, really kind of had me in the zone or hit my sweet spot. And as they begin to wrestle with their own past, then they begin to see, wow, there really is a pattern there that I didn't understand was there, or it was present without my even knowing it or realizing it. And so bringing them to that realization as a part of the process is very satisfying, too.
In fact, yes, I know both Ben Dilla has been on the show, Marlis Hansen, of course,
right.
Our colleagues, and Bill Hendricks. And Bill puts it in this way. He says, you're not cognizant of the air that you breathe,
mm-hmm.
or if you're in water that really, if you were a fish, the water that you live in. And so the SEMA process allows this mirror for you to suddenly see yourself in a very different way. And I think your other point that, you know, we'd want to bring out is so many assessments want to say you're one of these or one of those, or you're in this box or this tag.
Right.
And truly, what obviously you're going to reveal is that, no, every human being is unique in and of themselves. And this isn't about telling you where you have your gaps, but rather pointing you in the direction of playing to what you already are.
One of the things that excites me about this cultural shift we've been seeing called now postmodernism is that SEMA really taps into the deep desires that people have, who are calling themselves postmodernists. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is that there's an understanding that people can't simply be fit into boxes, and they don't want to be put into boxes because their lives are so much richer than that. And so with each person that we study, we are seeing a pattern of giftedness there that is entirely unique, and a life story, a series of life stories that are entirely unique. And so one of the reasons why we have such great resonance with people is precisely that we aren't going to put people into boxes, either in the process itself or in the motivational pattern report that we provide for our clients. But it truly is a one-of-a-kind.
You know, one of the challenges, though, of course, I can imagine people are listening and saying, well, yeah, okay, I like this idea that I'm a unique individual, but yet in my day job, I have to go do X, Y, Z on this list of job responsibilities.
Right.
And I have to, quote, go and live in the box,
right,
so to speak, because that's where my financial wherewithal or my identity is connected to and so on. So Josh, you might want to talk about, well, this idea of gifting someone this knowledge is to not just for coping skills, but perhaps you understand how you can be more effective within what you've chosen to do, but also how you can craft beyond your 9-to-5 life, I'll say, because this information obviously is relevant to who we are 24 hours a day.
I recently did a motivational pattern for somebody in the pharmaceutical industry who is centrally motivated to advance and drive forward on the basis of analytical skills. And as a result of the pattern, I was able to help her see in both her personal life and in her work life ways not just to cope, as you said, but to transform the situation around her map. Let me give you a couple of examples. The first was, as a result of her drive of advancing and progressing, she'd been put into a leadership situation where she was in charge of a big department, and a lot of people were reporting to her. And because she was so analytical, she was not as relationally engaged as she thought she should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And what I helped her to understand is that it's possible to create a plan on the basis of your analysis for how to engage more effectively. So it's actually a strategy to be shaped rather than, you know, the warm relationships that happen over the water cooler.
Mm-hmm.
So she could analytically approach that. And that was very, very helpful for her to see that she could approach this relational part of leadership in a way that was strategic and planful. And in her own family life, also able to help her understand that she could apply some of the same analytical skills for helping out in that department as well. But the uptake here is that the pattern helped her to navigate through some ticklish issues that she was facing, and very rewarding to be able to help her see that.
Of course, the other piece of it is also to probably help her understand, well, if this isn't something I'm naturally inclined to do, who else might I rely upon keep close to me, or have them just be a sounding board, so that indeed it keeps me on point for those areas that may not come to me as naturally as it would to someone else.
It's an excellent point. We talk a lot about how the pattern of giftedness is unique to each person, and that is golden truth. But the other part here that you're bringing up, which is so important, is that we aren't islands unto ourselves.
Exactly.
And we do need one another. And part of what the pattern does is help us to understand precisely where we can complement others, or others can support and complement us. And so we do use patterning a great deal in team building, and that's a part of what we do that's really important for helping not only persons to understand how to make good changes, but whole groups as well.
I would also suggest that it's also knowing that pattern, that insight, it would also tell us where we might be on a collision course with one another.
Right.
You know, for a classic example, I'm a firstborn engineer, which is very common in business, that engineers, mm-hmm. doctors, lawyers are firstborns. Well, you get a group of firstborns in a room together, and without the balance of other people, we're going to be sticking sticks in each other's eyes without without meaning to be malicious, but it'll just happen. We're all used to being in charge, et cetera, et cetera. So this idea of not just allowing diversity, but knowing that it's vital for the health of a team endeavor to work is very important. And to have that additional map, which is kind of, you know, objective information, right, that we're not being subjective, so to speak, that can really help that dynamic.
Yeah, the process of recollection I talked about at the outset, whereby we look back at our lives and we kind of step away from the harried, busy lives we have and think about ourselves kind of at arm's length, at a distance, in terms of understanding who I am. That also applies to later on, as you're saying here, when I have my map and I'm understanding myself in relationship to a bunch of people that I'm working with, I can, in one sense, have an objective view, which is really healthy in terms of understanding good teamwork and collaboration.
I think the other side is that, you know, we all have these multiple voices in our heads. Mm-hmm. And whether it be people in our past that have influenced us or our own voices that we've created because of those experiences. So many times you get in the moment and suddenly you say something, you do something, and you want to say, now where in the world did that come from?
Right.
And, you know, I know in the case of Zara, it's all about prevailing. Mm-hmm. So I better learn to, you know, be Pluto or that bulldog and let go of the bone, right? And let somebody else take it and grab forward. Well, Josh, thank you very much for joining us today. It's really a pleasure. I commend you for the service you provide to your clients, but particularly as a colleague within SEMA International, to have someone who's so adept, and obviously listeners can hear in your voice, so passionate about being able to turn back those layers and let people celebrate who they are. It's really a pleasure to see someone as gifted as you are playing to helping others find their gifts.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy to collaborate with you, Zara.
Absolutely. Well, happy Veterans Day, and we'll catch up with you probably about a month from now. Thanks for calling.
You.
Okay, bye-bye. Stick with us, folks. Our next broadcast partner up, of course, will be Jennifer Cashel from Los Angeles. We're going to talk about how to deal with a conference hangover. Again, Dr. Zara Larson, Circles of Change at 104.1 The Truth, Tucson News Talk.
Do you lead an organization, a business, company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com, SIMA International, for inspired performance.